Part 4. Inspired Guidances. I told you in Part 1 about the synchronistic series of circumstances that led me to solemnly promise to do my best to receive words of wisdom. I gave my word to do so during a remarkable session with a medium in London in 1991. Now, more than 25 years later, the inspired guidances, as I decided to name them, still keep coming. I said yes because that is what I truly wanted. My rational mind did not understand what I was agreeing to, but by then I had already freed myself from the severe limitations of that part of my mind. My heart definitely wanted to serve a dimension or reality of a higher order, if it possibly existed, and to serve it well. I had been studying, after all, under a whole series of masters, each one a spiritual warrior in their own right, who had said yes to their task. In comparison, what was asked of me looked minimal. That being said, I agonized and even trembled about how to materialize my promise. It is still astonishing to me that my promise has come to fruition. Whenever I sit down to open myself, to receive some words of wisdom, almost always in the presence of other people who are meditating with me in silence, some sentences do come. It never fails. I experience it as a mixture of mediumship and conscious channeling. Often the words that arise take the form of guided meditations. Sometimes they will refer specifically to current world events. If they are delivered in the context of a workshop I'm teaching, they also address the process the participants are in. As the words arise, there is a quite beautiful gathering of presence or consciousness for me, and always an opening of the heart chakra. In my body, I feel a vibrational shift. Looking back, I can see how so much of my life has prepared me for this. Now I know for sure that it all started with my near-death experience at the age of 4. I realized that it must have opened me as an initiation. My work with my Hungarian shamanic teacher was another big step. Also, my intense quest for the nature of true reality, supported by the discipline of 45 years of daily meditation, has enabled me to tap into dimensions of the sacred and their very uplifting and intense levels of a higher frequency. Chapter 1. Guides and Angels of Light, Love and Peace. Who or what are the guides of light, love and peace that so often address us in the following collection of meditations? Do they arise from my or our collective imagination? Or do they live some sort of independent existence? And in which dimension would this be? Would it be helpful to put them in the same category as angels? But does this even make any sense in today's world, dominated as it is by science and the rational mind? How can we grasp the consciousness of plants, of stars, and galaxies? Is there a new breed of angel available in an ever-evolving universe? Is it possible with the help of guides and angels, to make the world into a sacred place? Probably such questions will always fascinate me, and probably you as well, dear listener. I doubt that I will ever come to firm conclusions. It is true, though, that the nature of my work brings me in almost daily contact with experiences that do point to other dimensions of reality. To give just four examples. When I perform a Reiki initiation, Dr. Mikao Usui is often distinctly present. Colleagues and students feel this as well. For me, his presence manifests as a palpable strength in my legs, a warmth around my heart, and a clarity and preciseness of purpose. A boy of 12 that I initiated has a special lucid dream about Usui, even before the Reiki class started. When I give Reiki to a Taekwondo master in a hospital and told him that I felt the presence of his grandfather, he lost control. As this guarded and very disciplined man broke down sobbing, he confided that as a boy, he experienced love only from his grandfather. Some of my shamanic students can describe in detail and with great clarity my teacher Yoska Sosh, whom they have never met. They might hear him say something, or they use an expression that I can immediately identify as Yoshka. Some even see his teacher Tamas, whom I have never met and of whom we have no pictures. I could easily go on and on with similar examples. Instead, I will just cite here one interesting observation from the renowned saint Sri Ramakrishna. He told his devotees that during one phase of his spiritual development, when he sat down for meditation, a young man who looked very much like him would emerge from his own body and seat himself in front of him and guide him. In the early years of the inspired guidance coming through, while I was wondering a lot about the existence of ascended masters and angels, I found an astonishing testimony. It is one of the most moving and authentic documents I have come across. The whole story is recorded in a book by Gita Malach, born 1907, died 1992. A long-time international bestseller called Talking with Angels. Everyone who reads it is touched by it. The remarkable events in the book took place in a small village during the Second World War in Hungary. Gita and her three Jewish friends, Hannah, Yosef, and his wife Lily, were getting together every week during the terrible period of the occupation by the Nazis. They were acutely aware that even more frightening times were on their way. Then they made a firm decision. They wanted to support each other on their inner path, no matter what happened. One afternoon, in June 1943, Hannah suddenly cried out, "Pay attention! It is not me who is talking." Her voice sounded different, and during the next 17 months, she spoke aloud very specific messages for each of the four friends. The last conversation ended with the words, "Believe, the eternal life is already yours." Gita wrote everything down. The instructions for them were clearly coming from a world filled with love and an amazing intelligence. Among themselves, the foursome called the spiritual beings who were addressing them their angels. Gita, the only non-Jewish one, would be the only one to survive this gruesome war period. The evening before the deportation of Yosef to what turned out to be the concentration camp where he would die, one of the angels mentioned that the four of them could only act effectively if they worked together. The angels saw them as the voices of the new song. It was not important whether they would be together physically. This new song, the angel said, is the new frequency, quote, tuned into the divine. It is called light. In 1976, after more than 30 years, Gita finally made public the notes she took during those 17 months. I think that this shows divine wisdom as well, because at that time a larger readership, for whom all this was intended, was ready and open enough to understand and absorb those messages. The divine plan in action. My friend Ian Graham, with whom I traveled to Bhutan, expressed this idea very well in the title of his book, God is Never Late, but Never Early Either. I like the sound of the phrase, the new song. You will see that I have put a selection of the meditations I have been receiving concerning the new times in part 4, chapter 3, The New Age and a Call for Action. I personally feel a great kinship with the messages and the vibrational quality of the angels, as documented by Gita. A similar quality is present in the tone of the inspired guidances. The voice that speaks to us wants to connect with the listener or the reader. It certainly connects by inspiring and guiding, but also by activating innate knowledge. At other times, the words that come are healing and protecting. For those of you who are interested in more speculation and information about angels, I also recommend a dialogue that took place between the Christian theologian Matthew Fox and the scientist Rupert Sheldrake. The gist of it is to be found in their book, The Physics of Angels, Exploring the Realm Where Science and Spirit Meet. They say that other forms of consciousness, besides the human form, almost certainly exist in the cosmos. Probably, angels have been in existence since the beginning of the universe, and can be considered to be those who concern themselves with the regulating of nature. Sheldrake points out how, following Einstein, we can now see how mutual interconnectivity is mediated through gravitational fields, all contained within the gravitational field of the universe, the so-called universal field. Maybe angels played a role to help in the awakening of human imagination and intuition. In this way, they have a special bond with prophets, artists, and shamans. Allow now the guides and angels of light, love, and peace to address themselves very specifically to you. When the words and sentences of the meditations are coming through, I often feel myself in contact with the heavenly dimensions. Maybe this will happen for you as well. The Angel of Peace and Healing. What are you? Where do you come from? Where are you going? During your meditation, these existential questions are being answered. Somehow, inexplicably and mysteriously, you are shifting in consciousness, and you become the knowing. This knowing is not dry and has nothing to do with the intellect. This knowing arises out of loving and being. It is the understanding that there is no birth and there is no death. It is the understanding that there is only a continuation of consciousness. May the Angel of Peace and Healing reveal this truth to you now. A sense of deep peace, profound peace, and relaxation comes over you as you are living in this truth. You experience that your loved ones are not gone. They are living in your heart forever. On occasion, they come to pay you a visit from the subtle dimensions. Be open to experience this, knowing that love transcends time and space. Shamans have always traveled through the dimensions, searching to decipher the mysteries of the universe. You must be ready for this journey. Your mind activity has become quiet. Your heart has been expanding. Your being is ready for its next adventure. Can you see them or feel them? All the avatars are here. All the bodhisattvas, the teachers, the guides, the angels. Sitting in the eternity of consciousness purifies all karma, abolishes fear, and establishes you in the peace beyond all understanding. With the eyes of the Christ, of the Buddha, of Krishna. Your sacred self always abides in the Christ, in the Buddha, in Krishna, in the light of creation, in the splendor of the formless. Remembering this, knowing this, celebrating this, you can connect with your essence in the blink of an eye, right now. It does not matter much which concepts you believe in. It matters tremendously that you know what you are. Why would creation withhold perfection from you at any moment? Can you turn inside and look with the eyes of the Christ, of the Buddha, of Krishna? Looking like this is true seeing and transforms illusions into the one reality. There is no need to look back now. You have reached your destiny. You live and embody the reality beyond any divisions. You are free. Be what you are. Love what you are. All is well. Sophia. Make space in your heart for Sophia, the goddess of wisdom. She wants to teach you today. Trust that which can never leave you, your real self. As it becomes the relaxed focus of your open attention, it pulls you beyond the mental concepts into the heart of all that is. No excessive effort. Just stay here and receive refreshing rest. It is simple and easy to live here and to let yourself be loved here, fully present in this moment. You taste eternity in its ever-unfolding magic. Magic is always right where you are, when you take the time to be. Magic and miracles and mystery and love are the ingredients of your ongoing self-realization. Your real self is already perfectly and completely realized. Knowing this stabilizes your happiness. Know thyself. Know thyself as peace and everlasting love. The message of the masters. Listen now to the message from the masters. It is beautiful and simple. Do not despair about how to reach your spiritual destiny. It resides in your willingness to reside in the perfection of this moment. This includes your openness to see yourself as completely lovable, as you are right now. You do not have to pay any dues to be willing to see yourself like this. This is what happens. The recognition of your own lovability, which is a fact, reveals the brilliance of everything around you. You can rest peacefully now in knowing that this is so. Just be ready to receive the gift. Each moment is a pearl of perfection. Ongoing surrendering to the totality of what this moment has to offer is the master key. In this way, your life flows naturally and spontaneously. Love is your source and is always pulling you to itself.